He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
If I had an army of Brian Moores, there'd be no crime in the city.
And then a hero comes along with the strength to carry on. And you cast your fears aside. And you know you can survive. So when you feel like hope is gone, look inside you and be strong. And you finally see the truth.
Mariah Carey providing the theme song for this morning. Hi, everybody. Geraldo here. Noam Layden is out in Long Island, where they are burying Officer Brian Moore today at St. James Roman Catholic Church in Seaford. Not far from where the 25-year-old still lived at home with his parents. Shot in the face at point-blank range, as you know, by a violent thug. We just served 7 years behind bars for attempted murder and various other charges. And this young cop, already distinguishing himself in New York's toughest job in the 5 years he's been on the force. On the force, really, since he was barely out of his teenage years, working mainly in the 105 in Queens County. Just a half hour's drive from his family home. In those 5 years of brave service, Brian made more than 150 arrests. He earned several service medals along the way. At the wake yesterday, Brian was being remembered by his family, by friends and dignitaries. The governor came, could not have been more charming, more engaged. He said, you know, I said hello to him. He said, Brian really loved his parents. Otherwise, he would not have followed in his father's footsteps. Andrew making a reference to his own dad, the iconic former governor Mario Cuomo. So I thought that that was especially poignant yesterday. That support for the grieving parents, for Raymond and Irene Moore. Cardinal Timothy Dolan, the New York Archbishop, also attended, as did New York's Mayor Bill de Blasio. I didn't see the mayor. He came later. But I hear that despite his sometimes strained relationship with the NYPD, he was warmly received. One of the things I want to talk to you all about at 866-Geraldo is the mayor's refusal, though, to add the requested 1,000 additional cops to the police force. You know, now we have his $78.3 billion budget that he unveiled yesterday that increases spending, and I'm glad about that, on a host of social services, but no money, no extra money to hire any additional cops. I mean, I don't get that. I don't get that. Even the city council, widely regarded as anti-cop, certainly very progressive and left-wing and very representative in certain ways of the most vocal members of the community calling for a better relationship between the community and cops. People calling on the police to protect them from crime. The thing is, as Bill Bratton, the commissioner, pointed out about this budget, I want to get back as soon as I can to the wake yesterday and today's funeral. But the one point I want to make about what Bill Bratton, the police commissioner, said yesterday was, listen, you stretch the force as tight as a blue rubber band, and you got half of them on various specialty duty, the other half on patrol, but without the additional 1,000 cops, those cops on patrol have no time. They have no time to, here's what Bratton said. I'll read it right from the Daily News. Right now, as many as half of our precinct officers function in specialty roles. The other half are on patrol, answering calls for service full time. In busier precincts, they're indentured to the radio, that is to the two-way radio, no time for problem-solving, partnerships, and prevention. Problem-solving, partnerships, and prevention, the three cornerstones of community policing. Come on, Mr. Mayor. Everybody but you sees the writing on the wall here. We need more cops in that thin blue line. The Secretary of Homeland Security, Jud Johnson, was also there. He spoke about how dangerous it is for the men and women in blue in these urban police departments to keep these big city safes, the big city safe. And I want to get back to that, too, in regard to Baltimore. But I have to tell you, for me personally, it was a privilege to convey face-to-face to Brian's dad, Raymond, and his mom, Irene, and his sister, Christine, I think her name, to convey to them my deepest condolences over their loss. These are down-home, decent, loving folks. And they are crushed by the death of their only son. Crushed. Now, as I mentioned, Governor Cuomo referencing how the son followed in the father's footsteps, just as he followed in his father's footsteps. But because the dad was a career NYPD sergeant, police sergeant, I mean, the family certainly understood the inherent risks in the job. But ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't make the loss any easier to bear. Not of their only son following in their dad's, in his dad's footsteps. So, you know, my brother Craig and I grew up not far from the Moors, West Babylon, just a few miles east. Both Craig and I saw in ourselves the pictures. You know how they, in these wakes, they do bulletin boards with all the pictures of the deceased. They had Brian growing up on the island. You know, we saw ourselves in those pictures, going to the beach with his pals, goofing around with his family on vacations. And to look from those pictures of this typical kid. I mean, he was a kid. You see how boyish his face. Barely 25, 5 years already in the force. Joined when he was barely out of his teenage years, Plain Edge High School. There he is hanging with his buddies. You see from those pictures, you look to the walls of the funeral home there, lined with flowers sent by well-wishers from around Long Island, around the five boroughs, around the region, around the nation. And then you see the mourners who are there at the wake, and there are supposed to be 30,000 cops at the funeral today. But especially poignant to me were the cops, Brian's fellow cops from the 105 precinct there, waiting to pay their respect to the devastated parents. And it really reminded me of what should be obvious. And actually, one of the largest of the floral arrangements spelled it out. Cops' lives matter too. Cops' lives matter too. That's the message that has to go out to the four corners of this country. At the scene of the funeral right now, my partner and colleague, Noam Layden. Noam, describe what you're saying.
Well, first of all, let me tell you, it's really an honor to be here. And let me tell you, before I even tell you what I see here, let me tell you what I saw on my way out here. The LIE just completely jammed with police officers really from all over the nation. In fact, at one point, I was stuck in traffic next to two motorcycle police officers from Springfield, Massachusetts, and had a great conversation with them, you know, talking about police work, what it is to be a police officer, but you can't help but be moved by seeing these license plates from all over the nation. It's almost like every department sent a representative to be here. And then here at the actual funeral site at this church, I mean, you could put these people in a stadium, and I don't know, I might fill the stadium. That's how many people are here today. And I know there's been so much said about where is the support for police. You know, we've had so many protests, the protests in Baltimore, the protests in New York, the protests in Ferguson. But this is, in some ways, it's a protest of itself or a rally for police. I mean, the 30,000 number that they got, I think it's a lot more than that today.
A lot more than the 30,000 and a diverse crowd. You know, our police force is one of the most integrated government agencies that exists anywhere in this country. Everybody is in mourning. It's not a thing about race. It's a thing about these are the people that keep us safe.
They are. And right now, this area is an area in flux as they bring in all of these officers. And you can imagine what just an undertaking that is to get these officers into parking lots. This is not, Seaford's not a town that's used to having, you know, 40,000 people dropped on it at a heartbeat. I mean, it was only, of course, the officer only passed away on Monday. Funeral plans made, so that gave them 4 days to put this plan together. It's really running very smoothly, but what's happening is they're parking these officers, I don't know, maybe about a half mile away from the church, and they're walking in. And so what I'm seeing now is, you talk about that sea of blue. I'm seeing that sea of blue walking into this area. And they're from officers from all over the nation. It's really inspiring to see.
All right, Noam Layden will be live on the scene. The funeral starts, it was scheduled to start in about 45 minutes. But as Noam is describing this logistical, challenge to get everybody in place before it starts, it may slide a bit. But I'm delighted that so many are coming out to show their support. Really, it should be everybody wants the best possible relationship between the people charged with keeping us safe and the ordinary citizen in the community. The enemy of both the cop and the community are the people like this Demetrius Blackwell who shot Officer Brian Moore in the face. That's the enemy. And I note with interest that even as they are burying Brian Moore on the island, and I want your sentiments about this, the federal government is announcing a major probe of the Baltimore Police Department to see if the patterns and practices of that department are such that it led to the incident there that touched off the riots, the death in police custody of 25-year-old Freddie Gray. But having been in Baltimore, I tell you, the civil rights issue of the day isn't police brutality. The civil rights issue of the day is the violence in the inner city that leads so many incidents where there can be friction between the community and the cops. I mean, start there. That's the core. That's the civil rights issue of the day. The 8 men, black men killed by other black men since Friday in Baltimore. That's the civil rights issue of the day. Now, I appreciate the federal government investigating any agency that violates the civil rights of anybody, the constitutional rights of anybody. But let's not lose sight of the big picture, which is the tumult, the cancer in the core of too many cities that allows for these dramatic and sometimes deadly encounters between cops and people who are probably, if the cop is on the scene and checking them out, there's something going on. I mean, not always, obviously not always. And yes, of course, everybody's civil rights must be respected. But cops' lives matter too. 19 minutes after 10 o'clock, live coverage of the funeral of Officer Brian Moore is our focus today. And your calls at 866-HERALD. We'll be right back.
From New York, for New York, live, local, on it. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Our focus today, the funeral of police officer Brian Moore, who was shot down Saturday, shot in the face a week ago Saturday, died on Monday. They are burying him out in Seaford on Long Island. Before I get out there and before I take your calls at 866-HERALD, I just want to make note of the the good economic news this morning. U.S. employers adding almost 250,000 new jobs in April, 223,000 to be precise. Unemployment going down to 5.4%, the lowest in 7 years since the Great Recession. And I noted with some relief that black unemployment has dipped below 10% for the first time in that 7 years. So, a rising tide lifting all boats. I mean, it's not all great news, but it certainly is a lot better than we have become accustomed to hearing. So the Dow soaring over 230 points so far, 241 right now. We'll keep our eye on that. But our main focus, our principal focus, certainly our hearts and minds focused on the funeral of Brian Moore. What's on your mind? Let me go to in Brooklyn to Joe. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling 866. Geraldo, what are you thinking about?
Geraldo.
Yes, sir.
Are you there?
I'm here. What's up?
Geraldo, I have a problem with our president and the attorney general never going forth in the form of Giuliani and breaking up the gangs. You break up the gangs, Geraldo, you change the inner city. Now the inner city, the people of the inner city, are not looked at by the police as gang members and thugs. They're looked at differently. And the people begin to look at the police differently. And now, you said investigations a little earlier. Well, investigations are great, but they're always after the fact. Somebody got killed, and some cop, or either a cop or a kid, somebody got killed, and nobody could bring them back, and someone is going to be penalized in a terrible way, maybe unwittingly having performed the wrong act.
I tell you what, Joe, I got you, and I appreciate the call. I tell you that I would use the RICO statutes on criminal conspiracies against the organizations like the Bloods and the Crips and the other drug-dealing organizations. I think you can be very vigorous in the same way they went after traditional organized crime when Rudy Giuliani was a U.S. attorney back in the 1980s. Let's go back to Noam Layden, our colleague and friend out there covering live the funeral today of Officer Brian Moore. So what's going on, Noam?
You know, just the sea of blue continues to stroll in. I mean, it's really amazing. It looks like thousands of people. I mean, from my vantage point, it looks like thousands of police officers from all over the country coming in. And let's give kudos to a great, when you know, you hear about corporate responsibility, give kudos to JetBlue, who flew in a fair amount of these officers who wanted to be here to represent their police forces from around the nation. JetBlue picking up the tab for a lot of those police departments
Excellent.
Around the country
Excellent.
Today. So good for them. Inside the church, I can give you some more details. And if you hear, I'm being corralled a little bit here, so I'm going to walk as I talk to you. The inside the church is the 105th precinct, the officers from the 105th precinct. That was Officer Moore's precinct. We saw them walk by maybe about 15, 20 minutes ago, hugging each other, some of them in tears, as they made their way towards the church. Also, of course, inside the church, family, friends, and assorted lawmakers. We haven't gotten a full list of the lawmakers that'll be inside, but we did see Congressman Peter King walk by. So it's going to be a full house. But out on the streets, ready to mourn Officer Moore as his body comes by, is really just thousands of people. It's packed here.
All right, Noam, you stay there. Our eyes and ears on the scene. We'll be describing the funeral, the huge send-off for Brian Moore, just 25 years old. Just really, I mean, a teenager almost. 5 years past his teenage years. Here he is, already a veteran on the force. And
Geraldo, live, local. Today's most important New York stories. Only on 77 WABC.
I can be your hero, baby. I can kiss away the pain. I will stand by you forever. You can take my breath away.
Happy birthday, Enrique Iglesias. I remember more than 20 years ago telling his dad, Julio Iglesias, the one and only great, that Enrique was going to be a big star also. It's his birthday, and he's singing a song totally appropriate to what we're covering today, the funeral of the hero cop, 25-year-old Brian Moore, being laid to rest in Seaford. We'll go back to Noam Layden from time to time. The funeral is due to start in about a half hour. It's all about you now. Your call is 866-Geraldo. Let me start with Kenny in Bushwick in Brooklyn. What's up, Kenny? Thanks for calling.
You know, I hear you talking about your buddy out there by the church. And they're saying
Brian Moore, the cop, or Noam Layden?
No, your buddy who's Noam.
No.
He's talking, he's saying, oh, all the cops and this and that. And then the politicians show up. Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Why do the politicians get to go inside the church, sit up front, okay? They didn't know more, okay? All they're doing is showing up.
I hear you. But let me tell
TV.
You this. I hear you. I get that.
Get the guys from the 105th, his buddies.
Yeah, they're there.
Let them sit up front. They're the ones who knew him. The other ones are just doing his FaceTime, and I would bet you any amount of money, you walk up to any of those politicians and say, quick, name the two cops who were assassinated in Brooklyn. I bet your money none of them can say Lou or Ramos.
Out
of sight, out of mind.
I don't know the answer to that, Kenny. I understand your skepticism, cynicism, even. But I have to tell you, you know, I have been very critical of Governor Andrew Cuomo on this program, the Moreland Commission, and so forth. But he was, his emotion, his sincere affection, it seemed to me, for the parents, the fact that he mentioned that, like he did, like Andrew did, following Mario Cuomo to the mansion in Albany, the governorship, Brian loved his father so much he followed in his footsteps. I thought that that was very touching. I thought that that was very meaningful. And as much as I like to go after public officials when they let us down, I thought that his presence, like the presence of Brian's fellow officers from the 105, was very meaningful to the parents. And, you know, it's one thing to talk from a distance about how, you know, we send our condolences and you go through all the recitation of the what you say. This is what you say when someone passes. You almost fill in the blanks. Deepest condolences. My heart goes out to you. Thank you for your service. All those cliches. It's different when you have your arms around the folks who gave birth to the cop. And, you know, it was very affecting to me. I was proud to be with them. And even though I didn't have much more to add to the cliches other than the fact that my brother Craig and I, we related a little bit more to Brian than we might otherwise. The fact that we went to high school just a few miles from him and had similar life experiences. It's something that's very personal, very personal. When you're there and you hug the mom and the dad looks you in the eyes and there's the sister, and you know that they're going to, and they live in the parents' house. You know, he's just saving money so he can go out on his own. I'm a dad. I'm telling you, this is tough stuff. This is tough stuff. And to see cops being made cliches, in a way, you see inner city black men being made cliches also. Stereotypes. The cop gets stereotyped. The inner city black or brown man gets stereotyped wrongfully in both cases. Wrongfully in both cases. You judge people as individuals. It's so important. And to see the parents there, so regular, normal, average, did everything right, raised their kids so well, kid follows in the father's footsteps. Father's so proud of him. Look at the kid. I mean, he has 150 arrests. He's a hell of a cop, but he looked like he was barely shaving. So affecting. So touching. Hi, Cheryl. How are you? Is this Cheryl, my friend from the show?
Excuse me?
Were you on my show on Saturday? This you?
I was indeed.
Oh,
how are
you were so articulate. Thank you. Really excellent job.
Thank you for having me.
Excellent job. Thank you for calling back.
I just want to send out my sympathies to the family of this slain police officer. You know, I can only imagine what his mother must be going through as a mother myself. I can't even fathom how much strength she has to summon in order to deal with this. But, you know, whenever an officer is killed, I'm always glad to see the outpouring of support both from the public and other officers, just to let them know that there are many, many of us who appreciate so much what they do and who understand the incredibly hard job that they have, especially with streets as dangerous as they are these days.
I know that your son has never been
Never.
Never been stopped by a cop.
Never.
But there are, you know, you have both parents raising the young man, and he knows not to be. What advice do you give to other moms on Mother's Day? And we're going to send you our Mother's Day basket from Charmony because you're a wonderful caller. What advice do you give to other parents listening right now?
You know, I would really like to speak to black parents, to black mothers. you know, it's hard. I understand that it's hard. But you must take such a strong and prominent role in your child's life. At no point can you allow yourself to slack off, no matter how old they are. You must know where your child is, what they're doing, who they're, especially who they are consorting with, who they're hanging out with. Children are so impressionable, especially I find that, you know, teenage boys of any color are very impressionable. And I was just very, very lucky, Geraldo. You know, my son had a very strong father and a strong mother. We both had our differences, but we put our son first. And I think that's what every single parent has to do.
Amen to that. Happy Mother's Day, Cheryl. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Geraldo. All bye-bye. Right.
All right. So, you know, yesterday. Now, I can get cranky. You know, I work this job. I work the TV job. You know, I'm still recovering from working around the clock in Baltimore last week. All you want to do is you get home. You just want to chill out. You want to do your own thing. And, you know, Sol asked me for help in her homework. And as I was doing the homework with her, it was Spanish homework. That's maybe a slam dunk there, but also the other, the multiplication and the division. And they do it so many different ways that I barely understand nowadays. So she's on the ending third grade, just going to the fourth grade. But it's that, those little things. I mean, I don't want to lecture you. You know me too well, and we've been around the block too many times, but that's so significant. I mean, it seems to me that should be a question on how you do. Do you do the homework with the kid? Or like Cheryl says, do you know it's 10 o'clock? Do you know where your son is or your daughter is? If they're teenagers, if they are of a certain age, that age when they are so impressionable, you know, before they go the, you know, take a wrong step, wrong direction. Let me, here's Jim in New Jersey. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Geraldo. How are you? Thank you for taking my call. Listen, hear me out because I want to engage with you with this. You know, this problem that's going on is more than, you know, Freddie Gray and Officer Moore, because the problem, we have a corrupt system. We have politicians who will promise and say anything they need to say to become elected, even though they will not go through with it. There's no possible way they can. So you could just imagine the despair in the communities that are promised things to happen, and it doesn't come through. I mean, who better than Barack Obama to have filled, during his inaugural speech, with hundreds of thousands of people, the promises that he had made, and then for the individuals who have had this hope to be just totally crushed. If he would have taken just slight bit of time, slight bit of a percentage of the trillions of dollars he added to the debt, put it into the communities, put it into small business government-backed loans, put it into infrastructures. The despair that the lower-class community feels, believe it or not, Geraldo, the middle class feels too, because after generations of cronyism, of corruption, we're corrupted from the top down. We have nobody to turn to. Let me just give you a little bit of insight of who I am and how I'm starting to feel. I'm a second generation, born in America, middle class, white male, divorced. In all aspects, if you hear the news or the politicians, I'm the privileged white devil. Meanwhile, I'm struggling to make ends meet.
I hear you. I'm struggling to make ends meet and frustrated when you see people getting grants in places like Trenton and Camden. You're from New Jersey. And then putting that money south in terms of personal corruption. It is disheartening. And I don't know who do you elect? I mean, Barack Obama, I'll tell you more about this after the break. It's 48 minutes after.
Get Geraldo now. Get in on New York's most important stories. 866-GERALDO, 77 WABC.
We're 5 minutes from the scheduled start of the funeral. The vast, huge funeral celebrating the life of Brian Moore, the officer who fell, the hero cop who fell this week, being laid to rest today out on Long Island, where our Noam Layden is our eyes and ears on the scene there for the funeral. So you are at the St. James Roman Catholic Church in Seaford. Noam, tell us what you see.
You know, first of all, the Seaford community has really come out to honor the officer in a big way. First of all, holding the service here and the community just being totally taken over by thousands of people who are trying to find spaces to park their cars so they can be there to honor the officer. And what I saw, what was really nice, is I was walking back through this area where the service is going to take place. There's one, it's a store, I think, that they're just handing out bottles of water because it's a really hot day. They're handing out bottles of water to all the police officers that are streaming in. By the way, I should point out, because someone came up to me and said this, New York's bravest is here as well, in force. There's a lot of firefighters here as well to honor the police officer. Secondly, what I've seen is, and this is great, is I'm seeing a lot of parents with their kids. Clearly, they took them out of school to be, you know, I can see they're not related. They aren't people who are part of the family. I mean, just from at least my own observation, they're here. Maybe it's a civics lesson. Maybe it's a lesson that you have to honor police officers. Either way, it's really fantastic to see, and they're waiting as well to honor Officer Moore. And thirdly, a police officer came up to me about 10 minutes ago and tapped me on the shoulder and said, this woman wants to speak to you. It was her name's Janine. She didn't want to come on air, but I'll tell you what her story is. She went to school, high school, with Officer Moore at Plainridge High School. And she said to me, you know, people always say when someone dies young that they were a really great person, they were really wonderful, they say all these great adjectives about them. But she said, in this case, he was the real deal. He was one of those guys, and she said, I haven't seen him since high school, but she said, I wanted to be here. He was one of those guys who could hang out with the jocks, who could hang out with the freaks, who could hang out with every crowd at the high school and feel and be part of it and be really well liked by everyone.
Noam, you'll give us your live report on the other side of the news break. After this, stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, 77 WABC.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
The motorcycles are arriving at St. James Roman Catholic Church in Seaford, Long Island, as they prepare to bury Officer Brian Moore, who fell in the line of duty, the third New York City cop to be killed in the last 5 months. Connor in Rockland, thank you for calling 866-GERALDO. What's on your mind, Connor?
Yeah, hi. I'm a retired detective, and I just wanted to say I feel like Officer Moore is the first victim of the stop and frisk abolition.
It's interesting. Why do you say that?
Well, I have a couple reasons. One, this guy was definitely a bad guy who had done time before. He knew he was a predicate felon, and knowing he's a predicate felon, he knew that just by possessing a gun, he would have probably gone back for 25 years. So if he was afraid that maybe cops would be jumping out on him and stopping him, he might not have been carrying the gun that day.
So you think that he was walking around with a loaded illegal weapon, confident that he wouldn't be stopped and frisked if he didn't give the cops some absolute acute reason to stop him?
Yes, I do believe that, because put yourself in his position. He's a predicate felon. He's going back for 25 years. He obviously had a gun because he wanted to use it, whether it was going to be the commission of another crime or whether beef with somebody. And he might not have been carrying it that day if all he was doing was going to the supermarket or seeing his girlfriend, because he knew he would have gone away. He probably would have only taken the gun out when he had a reason to use it, when he was planning something.
Makes sense to me. Makes sense to me, Connor. Thank you for your analysis, and thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Noam. I saw the motorcycles pulling up in front of the funeral home. Noam, is it looks like it's happening pretty much on schedule.
It is going to happen on schedule, and some of it you're going to be able to see that I can't see from my vantage point. But what I can tell you is this outpouring is really unbelievable. And in fact, I just talked to an officer who said at last night's wake for Officer Moore, they think 10,000 people streamed by his body, which is really unbelievable. The church service that you're going to see, this church holds about 850 people. And I know there have been some complaints. Marty had told me that somebody was complaining about the fact that politicians were being let in. It was actually the family who gets to dictate, for the most part, who's at this service today. Of course, obviously, family and friends, a big part of it, but also a lot of those people who you'll see sitting in some of those pews are people who are welcomed by the Moore family to come into to the service today. And after the service, so it's going to be an hour and a half service long, and his body will then be taken from the church to St. Charles Cemetery in Farmingdale, where he'll be laid to rest. And posthumously, he's been now, he'll be called Detective now, as opposed to Officer Moore. Something that's become, you know, much of a tradition, unfortunately, when police officers die in the line of duty here in New York City. So there are a lot of people here. I can see, you know, from my vantage point, people, some people crying, but definitely, you know, such a youngster, 25 years old. The service going to get underway on time. And what I'm going to do, Geraldo, is out of respect to the people around me, because I don't want to bother them, and I want to show my honor as well, I'm going to power down my phone and watch this service along with you on radio.
All right. Noam Layden on the scene there at St. James Roman Catholic Church in Seaford on the island as they bury. Noam, thank you very much, brother. I'll see you Monday. As they bury this young man, 25-year-old Brian Moore, who fell in the line of duty. You know, I don't know when it is appropriate to address it, and I want to give it due deference, and maybe I should wait until Monday. But I think that we must, and you, the 77 WABC audience, and I really, because there are so many diverse people listening to this program, you know, all races, all walks of life and income levels, and I honor that. I appreciate that. There is a legitimate beef about the relationship between urban cops and the inner city poor. I mean, there's a real issue there that it's complicated. It's in some ways a sorry tradition in this land, but it's getting worse. It's not getting better, it seems to me. And part of the problem, I mean, a major part, the biggest part of the problem is the fact that who are the people that these cops, you know, where does the rubber meet the road, so to speak, when it comes to urban policing? You know, who are the folks that a cop is called on to have an encounter with? It's not like Cheryl Sun, it's an intact black family, and there's a kid who's on his way to college, and he's well dressed, and he's schooled in the way you deal with cops, or the way I try to inculcate in my sometimes blockheaded son's heads that, you know, what you say to a cop is yes or no, sir, and you don't debate them, you don't go into their face. I want to talk about that. I think it's important to talk about that. But my main focus today is it is well and good to want people's lives to be improved, people's lot in life to be better, to want equal justice and equality and dignity for all. It's a whole different situation when you make of that problem a policeman the enemy, the policeman the cause. The policeman didn't cause these conditions that lead to crime and dysfunction and the breakup of the community. The policeman didn't cause that. The policeman has a family, as he or she have, you know, their own humanity that has to be recognized also. And my frustration over the last week and coming out of Baltimore, a week in Baltimore, my frustration is, it's so easy to get in a cop's face the way these Occupy Wall Street kids do and blame the cop for everything. It sickens me to see it. It is so unfair. It is grotesque to blame them Why don't you go back to Wall Street and protest if you want to, or go to the slumlord's house to protest, or go right into the face of the Demetrius Blackwell thug, violent predator criminals. Go into their. It's not the cop's fault. The cop's doing his job. He wants to go. He or she want to go home at the end of their shift. They want to be as conscientious as they can be. The vast majority of them are their problem cops. Are there problem agencies throughout the country? Yes, of course, sure. But the vast majority of these men and women in blue just trying to do the best job they possibly can, get through. This is their job. They want to get through the day. They want to go home safe and sound. They want to be respected too. I'm not going to paint a Pollyanna picture about it. It's a complicated situation, and sometimes there are problems. Look at it, even in San Francisco, the bastion of liberalism, they've got this problem finding all these racially incendiary, inflammatory text messages cops sending to each other using the N-word and so forth. Sure, there's problems with cops. But the vast majority of them just trying to do their job, do the right thing. Brian Moore, 25 years old. Take another look at his picture. It's like his high school graduation picture, for goodness sakes. Ed in Jamaica, thank you for calling, Ed. Thank you for your
patience. Hey, how you doing, Geraldo?
Okay, man.
How you doing today, Geraldo?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you. Thank you. Good. I mean,
I want to thank you for your benevolence. You know, I see you as a leader, and I want to say the one thing about the cops, he's the only part of in due respect to Officer Moore, the cops are the only group that the people see. They try and reach out to these leaders, and they have no feedback, and they can't get to see them. But they see the cops, and of course they can vent their frustration. I was in my hometown of North Massapequa last night, and you know what? It's very quiet. Everybody was respectful to the officers going through. And but to mention also, there was a black and Hispanic officers walking through, and families, kids in their pajamas, and my daughter goes to school in Plain Edge, and the middle school is closed today.
So they did close the school in honor of the, first of all, the logistical nightmare of getting the kids to school, and then in honor of Brian Moore.
The one school is right by the funeral home, and out of just need of, you know, the swarm of humanity that was coming in today and last night, you really needed to close it down. But, you know, it was peaceful. It was quiet. But we need leaders to say, what's going on? Where are our comeuppances? Where are our choices and our chances? And you hit on that with your last point. I just want to wrap that up and make that quick. Thank you, sir, for what you're doing.
Thank you, Ed. Thanks for the call. The bagpipers are coming. I guess it's the Emerald Society. Do you have that sound? All right. We'll have the sound from the sights and sound from the funeral of Officer Brian Moore when we come back from this short intermission. And I'll also tell you about my meeting the parents, Brian's parents, yesterday, deeply affecting for me personally. As the father of five, I was so touched by their humility, their sorrow, their nobility. 17 minutes after 11 o'clock.
Geraldo on the 77 WABC app. Get it before you really need it. WABCradio.com.
The funeral of the hero cop Brian Moore. Ongoing right now at the St. James Roman Catholic Church in Seaford. I see the parents, Raymond and Irene. He, a retired New York City police sergeant, and his wife and their daughter, Christina. I think her name is Chris or Christina. But meeting them yesterday was so affecting. It was so sorrowful to see these ordinary, normal, regular folks. I mean, just like every parent around me growing up there in Long Island, as the casket is removed from the funeral hearse now. I mean, I can't imagine the cop salute now. Looking at your own 25-year-old. And just the nicest people
and the son following in the father's footsteps, and to look them in the eye is so different. It's so different than to talk about it in kind of academic or theoretic objective terms. Talk about, oh, the families of the fallen. But to see the parents, to see them up close, to see the pain in their eyes, to see the mom clutching her husband's arm. Son, the son of a cop. Uncle's a cop. Became a cop. He was barely 20 years old. 5 years on the job. 150 arrests already. Parents weeping now. Coffin. Passes them. They all followed the casket into the church. Just, we have to have some healing in this country. We have to understand that these cops are not to blame for what ails the inner city communities. But that caller was so eloquent and so spot on when he pointed out that the cop is the only government official many of these people ever see. Many of the folks in the Corps, particularly in a place with a rotten Corps like the city of Baltimore, and they react to them with all of the frustration pent up from decades of a dysfunctional relationship between cops and the community. Some of them act out. Demetrius Blackwell, we have to really ponder what another caller said, and you are so spot on, ladies and gentlemen listening. Is Brian Moore the first victim of the abolition of stop and frisk? Would Demetrius Blackwell, that career criminal, would he have been emboldened to carry that stolen revolver but for the fact that he knew that stop and frisk no longer was on the books? That absent him acting out in some really criminal way, he was confident the cops wouldn't frisk him, wouldn't stop him and frisk him, so he was emboldened to carry that weapon. And then when Brian Moore, with his 5 years on the job, despite his baby face, a veteran cop, when he saw him fiddling with the waistband, saying, hey, what do you got there? You got something there? And then Blackwell's Hellraiser, he called himself, said, yeah, I got something, took out the weapon and pounded him. You shall cross the barren. As we listen to the service, let me take Susan in Staten Island. Hello, Susan.
Also, I just have one comment to make. As we are lining up to bury a dead police officer in the line of duty, our Attorney General was announcing her going after the disciplinary practices, the Baltimore police. You think it could have waited till we buried our dead? That's all I have to say.
I totally agree. It was totally tone deaf. I understand that the federal bureaucracy has to plan ahead. They knew this officer was going to be buried today. They knew that her press conference was going to be played in juxtaposition to these mournful, melancholy scenes that we're seeing right now from St. James Roman Catholic Church. Yes, there are problems with certain police forces, certain cops, but that's not the big story. The big story isn't the big story. Put it this way. Since Friday in Baltimore, 8 black men have been killed by 8 other black men. That's since Friday. And nobody's talking about it. Why isn't Loretta Lynch saying something about that? Why isn't she saying something about this suicide being committed by the
Core City. The vast majority of the murders, and murders are way down, generally speaking, but why is it that this is happening? So much of it drug-related, so much of it gang-related. Why isn't there a Justice Department probe of the drug-dealing gangbangers? Why wasn't that announced today? Why wasn't there a federal probe of all... Why are all those stolen guns and all the other guns legally sold in Georgia and Virginia, why are they ending up in New York City? In the hands of dirtbags like Demetrius Blackwell. And where is the decency of timing? Is this really a time to say to cops, you know, there's some bad apples amongst you? We, the Justice Department, are going to root out those bad apples. Is this really the time for that? As you hear a 25-year-old being buried, is it really the time? Let me take an early news break. Deborah Valentine will give us the rest of the news. And then we'll come back and listen to some of the remarks in the funeral of Officer Brian Moore.
The headlines, the city's most pressing issues, Geraldo, today and every day, 77 WABC.
I am the peace the world cannot give. I will call your name, embracing all your pain, set up now all can live.
The funeral going on right now, Seaford, Long Island, for NYPD Officer Brian Moore. The choir singing at St. James Roman Catholic Church in Seaford, near where Brian grew up. Went into the police force shortly after he graduated high school. Had a hell of a start to his career. The son of a police sergeant, he had made 150 arrests at the time of the fatal shooting. And he knew when he saw that Demetrius Blackwell, that con who did 7 years, attempted murder. He knew he was up to no good. He was up to no good. That's why he asked Blackwell what he was fiddling with in his waistband. It's almost as if Blackwell decided, and we had another caller, another wise caller, say, you know, he's already, having been a career criminal, he knew, Blackwell knew, that since he had the gun on him, he was going to go away for 20 years if he allowed himself to be arrested. So instead, he whipped out the weapon, shot Brian Moore right in the face, killing him.
Your son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. I'd ask you to please be seated now for the readings. And our first reading will be proclaimed by Brian's cousin, Lauren.
All right, so we'll monitor this. And as they get to the stage to do their readings, I think that where appropriate, we'll listen to them. I especially want to hear from the family members. But the thing that you get...
The book of
right, so this is the cousin.
There is an appointed time for everything and a time for every affair under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot the plant, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them,
As the cousin reads from Ecclesiastes, let me take Olga's call out on Long Island. Hey, Olga, thank you for calling.
Okay.
Hi, Olga, you're on. What would you like to say?
As I'm listening to all the mayor speaking, you know, and doing all this pro bono cops that for doing their job and dealing with the hoodlums in the cities, but is she doing a probe on the hoodlums for destroying the city and all the stores and all the owners that lost so much? You know, Blackwell was arrested, yeah. He's going to be spending the rest of his life in jail. But the Moore family lost their son. They're not going to have him. And our taxpayers paying for Blackwell to have three meals a day, a gym, TV, and whatever else he gets. And his family, they still have him. Where's the fairness?
I agree, and it was so tone-deaf. Why couldn't they postpone Attorney General Lynch's announcement of the probe of the Baltimore Police Department until Monday? Why today? Why today of all days? It just makes it so starkly an issue of them against us, doesn't it say to the people of Baltimore, to the people of the cities throughout the country, this and other cities, that there's the good folks in the community and then there's the bad cops, and we're going to root out the bad cops, as if the cops, did the cops create Demetrius Blackwell? You know, remembering what Baltimore was all about, the death of Freddie Gray, the 25-year-old, who'd been arrested a bunch of times, but, you know, the arrest seems illegal. Maybe if the knife that he had on was illegal after all, maybe technically the arrest wasn't illegal. It might affect the state prosecution. That's why there should be a federal civil rights probe. But Freddie Gray's death, as traumatic as it is it more important than Brian Moore's death? I mean, they're both 25 years old, right? 25-year-old Freddie Gray should not have died in police custody. He did not appear to be threatening or attempting to perpetrate murder or mayhem. He should not have been killed in police custody. That is a legitimate beef. Nobody deserves to die in police custody. And his death generated not only those horrible riots that destroyed the inner city and destroyed the livelihood of so many regular folks, but for goodness sake, Brian Moore deserved to live too, didn't he? Didn't he deserve to go home to his parents at the end of his shift? Did Loretta Lynch even reference how hard that job is to be a police officer in the inner city? How hard it is to deal with some of the worst amongst us? Did Loretta Lynch even mention the fact that there have been 8 murders in Baltimore since Friday? Black on black murders. All right, listen. Let's listen into the next reading. Another relative.
Reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Love never fails, prophecies will cease, tongues will be silent, knowledge will pass away. Our knowledge is imperfect, and our prophesying is imperfect. When the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. When I was a child, I used to talk like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man...
Hello, Al, you're on the line. What's on your mind?
Why does Officer Moore have to die in order to get promoted to detective? He had a tremendous hero record of over 100 arrests, and I submit that he should have been promoted long ago to detective. Had he been, he might have been alive today. And they promote a lot of women and a lot of minorities who have never even had a felony arrest because of political correctness and the quotas.
All right, Al, I appreciate the call, the sentiments. Thank you very much. I met the grandma yesterday also. Brian's grandma, it was so, really so gut-wrenching and so soul-searing. Here's Joe in Hackensack. Hey, Joe, what's up?
Hey, I'm just talking about, I mean, I've been listening to you for years, man, and you've been a big part of my life. I grew up with you, and I wanted to recognize the fact that, you know, there is some esoteric group that controls the ethos in this country, and I don't understand what makes a police officer's life more valuable than someone that's innocently shot in a hallway.
Well, I don't think that they are more valuable, but they're certainly not less valuable. And how can you have your big march to celebrate the life and to protest the death of the citizen while ignoring or shunning or minimizing in some way the death of the law enforcement officer? I don't say the cop's life is worth more than the citizen's life, but it is worth as much, is it not? And it just is so irksome to me that rather than come to grips with the real reality, what's the reality? The reality is our urban cops deal with the worst among us. That's the reality. Why is that population so troubled, so in flux, so shaky? Isn't that where we should direct our attention and our energy? Probe that.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you?"
Jeff, you're on the line. Thanks for calling 866-Geraldo. What's on your mind, buddy?
Hey, Geraldo, didn't all this start when Barack Hussein Obama disrespected the police, calling them stupid with that thing that happened up in Boston, and with de Blasio, same thing?
I don't think it started with Barack Obama, nor will it end with him or de Blasio. You have a situation here that's been decades in the making. In Baltimore, for example, it is still not recovered, that neighborhood there in the West Side, from the riots of 1968. 35,000 derelict, burned out buildings in a city of 600,000. 35,000. Imagine if that were New York. It would never happen. I mean, they should knock them down, give them away, do something. Kids growing up, we had the guy on yesterday from Johns Hopkins who did the survey over, 25-year survey of 800 black and white poor kids, followed them just like that movie through their growing up years.
Ryan, we are here to let you know that we are with you.
It's a sorry situation, but it's not the cops' fault, for goodness sake.
In our prayers.
Elizabeth, thank you for calling. Elizabeth, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Geraldo. How are you?
Good, thanks. Well, I'm, I'm okay.
Yeah, I know. Geraldo, I was calling. I have been really studying and watching the situation as it unfolds in the United States, many aspects of it with regard to this administration. And, of course, the police officer situation and the racial situation in the United States, part of it. I'm an attorney and a writer, and I watched it very carefully. And my opinion, you had mentioned, you know, how it was very unfortunate that the Attorney General had announced this probe today. And you indicated, you know, maybe it was just a mistake or an oversight on their part. And I would like to say as strongly as I could that I believe it was quite calculated. I think that unfortunately, and I come from a totally objective point of view. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm really just an American. I think that Obama and his administration, by doing such a thoughtless thing, they're thumbing their nose. They're saying, not so important. So this cop got killed. This is important, this probe. And, you know, it's maddening. You know, if there are, and we all know there are bad cops, just like there are bad dentists, there are bad reporters. There are bad priests. every field has the good, the bad. And but to focus on the bad apples when we know there are so, so many good apples. And this young officer, just obviously the best of the best and an innocent. There have been so many shootings, murders, by black police officers on both black and white suspects. Just in the recent past, not one of them is ever focused on.
I don't know that to be a fact. I appreciate your call. I don't know what the statistics are and the race of the officers engaged in those shootings. But I do know the Baltimore Police Force, very highly integrated. You know, a African-American police commissioner in Baltimore. Our police department is, like our armed forces, totally integrated. You know, you have bad cops, good cops. Most cops are good cops. Most cops are good cops. And I think that I am so frustrated by the ease with which I understand how upsetting it is when an unarmed civilian dies in police custody, regardless of the race of the cop or the person who dies in police custody. And I understand how that fits in, particularly when the person who passes away, the civilian who dies in the hands of the cops, is black or brown, how that fits a historic narrative on the abuses of people. But, you know, that's such a small part of what is happening. Just a small part of what's happening. Let me go to Billy in New York. What's up, Billy? What are you thinking about?
Gerardo, how many more police officers have to die here in New York City before you go on the radio and demand for Bill de Blasio's resignation? I mean, what is your breaking point going to be?
You know, one thing I appreciate that. I'm not going to go there. 70% of the people who voted for him, even more than that. But I call on the mayor to listen to everybody in his government, particularly his police commissioner, Bill Bratton, and to listen to this request for 1,000 new officers. All right, let me take a break. I'm way past time. I'll be back.
Geraldo, the truth behind the story for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
City. Mother's Day is Sunday.
Are in that place right now.
Just think of Brian's mom, maybe when you squeeze your own, when you think about your own.
And like the angels, they saw and touched.
Is Gnome?
And how do we know that?
Okay, so we'll get Gnome. Gnome will be back.
Jesus keeps his promises.
As we.
How do we know he does?
Listen, because Brian Moore, the Moores. Kids,
we prayed to God. We prayed as
a Catholic
as
family
well.
At St. James Roman
we
Catholic Church in Seaford.
We pray for that. Sometimes our prayers are answered just the way
tonight
we
I'm going to be with Bill O'Reilly, and he's asked me to talk about how I
that
feel about Attorney General Loretta Lynch's press conference announcing the probe of the Baltimore Police Department today, of all days. And just to give you a preview, I just feel that it is tone deaf. I don't think that it was malicious, as one of the callers suggests. I see the best in people, but I do think it was negligent, that it was tone deaf, that it could have waited until Monday.
And I believed her. Now I know she was just cheap.
So have a great weekend. Think of Brian Moore. Think of his family. It's going to be a lovely weekend weather-wise. All right, Noam, you want to say goodbye?
This past weekend.
Noam, you want to say goodbye?
You know, I just want to tell you, I walked away from the church, and I'm watching the traffic go down Hicksville Road, which is what leads up to the chapel, and it's sort of a reminder that even through all this pain, sort of life has to go on. And for the Moore family, as tragic as it can be, I mean, there's nothing more tragic than losing a child when this church service is over, their life's going to have to move on.
That's right. Noam, thank you. I'll see you Monday, ladies and gentlemen. Have a wonderful weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, especially to mine. Love you, Mommy.